MZTV.
Welcome to my secret lair. I am Martin Zender, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. You will learn amazing things here today from the scriptures, the word of God. I will not interpret these words. I will interpret them, but I will read them first, and you will see that the most complex, what you thought were the most complex teachings, the most difficult words to understand, are actually, when they come through the mind of a child, but which child has also been in contact with that word of God for 40 years and follows laws of language and scriptural rules of interpretation, make things clear and understandable and simple. Folks, I have to understand something thoroughly before I can explain it in a simple way. Einstein once said, if you can't explain something in a simple way, then you don't understand it yourself. And that is true. It's especially true in the scriptures. We don't have to get into the weeds here. We don't have to really, I don't have to tell you what to believe here. I just read the scriptures. And for the most part, scripture interprets itself. And it's a beautiful thing. And that beautiful thing is about to happen for you today in John chapter 1. A passage of scripture that has sent theologians scrambling to explain. And I'll admit, John uses some difficult language here. But when we have been given by God the mind of a child, and when we approach the Word of God that way as a revelation, not a mystery, then we will find truth. And the truth will set us free. And we will have an understanding, the best thing of all, we will have an understanding of Christ and of a God who sent his Christ into the world to save the world. Along those lines, I have poured some whiskey today. Well, I have the mind of a child, but I am over 21. Barely. My voice was a little ragged yesterday. I'm going to fix that today. I'm still making shows ahead of time. I don't have any more information for you about the little glitch on Sunday's video, but that's probably already been resolved. It just hasn't been resolved to my knowledge from where I'm speaking to you at this time. Like I said, because of this week is a busy week for me. My family's coming to town and I'm doing this ridiculous 65-mile run. Then I'm making shows ahead of time while I'm still conscious. John chapter 1. Would it be helpful to explain to you why John is writing this account to his brethren? No, just read it first. Okay. In the beginning was the Word. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a potential problem already in the second word. Because the second word is the word the. But there's a helpful thing in the Concordant Version that when a word does not have any support in the Greek language, in other words, when the Concordant is supplying a word for the sake of sense that does not appear in the Greek language, that does not have a supporting word in the Greek language, they will put that word in light face type. I think the King James Version actually does this too. You may have wondered, why are some words in dark face type and some in light face type? The words that are in dark face type have a supporting word in the original language, in the Greek. If a word is in light face type, it means that that word was added. That was basically the translators are admitting, which is very helpful to know. They're admitting that they added the light face word. They added it. It's not in the original scriptures. They added it so it makes sense in English. So in John 1:1, says, in the beginning, but the is in light face type. So literally, this would read in Greek, in beginning. This is not the beginning. Because we don't know anything about the beginning. And in fact, God never had a beginning. Yeah, I know. You need a sip of whiskey to even entertain that comment. God did not have a beginning. We can't even imagine something that didn't have a beginning or doesn't have an end. Excuse me while I indulge. This is not the absolute beginning, because in a beginning was the Word. This is a metaphor. We know this is applying to Christ, but we don't know that until down in verse 10 and on to verse 14. But John is being cagey. And just as Jesus Christ called himself at one time the door, called himself the sheep gate, called himself the way, the truth, the life, all metaphors, John is calling him here the Word. And I've taught recently on this, and we've had a big controversy. I'm not going to touch the controversy. Forget the controversy that there are some in the body of Christ who don't believe Jesus Christ pre-existed his birth. Not interested in that. I'm just interested in John's letter and what it means, especially the first 14 verses. It's all I'm after. So forget any controversy. You all have the mind of children, and we want to read what God has to say to us through his servant John. In the beginning was the Word. Word simply means an expression, to say, to speak. And the Word was toward God. That word toward, that one word, disproves the Trinity. Because you can't be toward yourself. Did you know that in the Hebrew scriptures, God has a name? Oh, yeah. His name is El. Well, what does that mean? Well, good question. It means subjector. And you know that there's a name for the pre-Bethlehem Christ? Yes, it's Eloah. It means toward God. There's only one El. One subjector, and it is God. But there's that word, Eloah. It appears in the Hebrew scriptures. It means toward subjector. And that's what we're seeing here. The Word was toward God, toward the subjector. And again, this word toward disproves the Trinity, because you can't be toward yourself. Nothing can be toward itself. Toward is proof. This one word proves that we have two beings here. One being is called God, and the other being at this point in John is called the Word. But we don't know who that being is yet, because it's a metaphor. It's like saying, in the beginning was the sheep gate, or in the beginning was the way, the truth, and the life. Right? But we don't know who the way, the truth, and the life is yet. We don't have it identified. We just have the metaphor. But the Word was toward God. And this perfectly answers to the Hebrew name Eloah, which means toward subjector. I'm telling you, this is Christ. And we find that out clearly by verse 10, certainly by verse 12, verse 14. I'm going to get there, but it helps for you to know at this early stage in John 1 that Jesus Christ, his whole purpose is to point toward God, to reveal the Father, toward subjector. And then we have the name Elohim, toward subjectors. It's plural. Elohim is plural. The common root word in El, Eloah, and Elohim is El, right? El, Eloah, Elohim. El, subjector, Eloah, toward subjector, Elohim, toward subjectors. These are other powerful beings that serve God. But the Son of God is the most immediate. The Son of His love. The firstborn of the creation of God. who points everything toward God. And now this phrase, and God was the Word. The King James and most English versions get the Greek backwards. They say, and the Word was God. And the Word was God. That is, the one who we are calling the Word now in a metaphor, as a metaphor, was actually God. But that's not true. Jesus Christ was not God. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. The right order here is, and God was the Word. The God of the Old Testament. John is telling his audience that the God that Moses saw, the God that Abraham saw, the God that appeared with the Hebrew boys in the furnace, that was really the Word. That was the expression of God. It was the saying of God. It was a visible, tangible, audible revelation of God, because God is absolutely invisible and inaudible. We will never hear God. We will never see God. Let me say that again. Even after we're changed, I added that, didn't I? I didn't say that the first time. Even after we're changed, we will not see God or hear God. God is absolutely inaudible and invisible. He can only be perceived through the Word, through the expression, which is His Son, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is called in 2 Corinthians 4:4 the image of the invisible God. That's pretty simple. In that there's a being. And really, even that's a figure of speech. God is not, can't be located. God is the power that created everything. He always existed. We can't even wrap our heads around that. And He knows that. He can't be perceived or heard or known except through an image. And the very first thing, the very first piece of business He had to take care of was create an image so that He can be known. And that image was called, as a metaphor, the expression. That is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. See how simple that is? So that's why John says, in a beginning was the Word. In beginning. If we have to put a word in here, I would put the word a. In a beginning was the Word, because that wasn't the absolute beginning. Because in the absolute beginning, we don't even know how to wrap our heads around that, but there was no Son of God. There was only God. Yeah, oh, folks, there was one time when God, one time, if you want to put it that way, God was all alone in the universe. Nothing else had been created. But He was quite lonely. And He wanted to create beings who would appreciate Him and worship Him, with whom He could share His glory. He wanted beings He could make happy, eventually, for eternity. But for God's sake, and I mean that literally, He needed an image. He needed to be understood and grasped. But He had this inherent problem. He's absolutely invisible and inaudible, imperceptible. So He created an image. His Son, the Son of God. Called in metaphoric form here, the Word. And the Word was toward God. Of course it was. Because that's the purpose of the Word, to reveal God. And God was the Word. That's the shocking statement to the Jews right there. God, you remember God? You know God, people, huh? You Jews, you remember God? Well, that was actually the Word. It wasn't the absolute Father Himself, because He's imperceptible. That was the Word. Well, John, who's the Word? Oh, He's building up to that revelation. He's building up to it. Give Him some time. God was the Word. What do you mean by that, John? Stick with me. That's only the first sentence. John says, give me some time. I'll unravel this. I'll roll this out. I'll tell you. Just shut up and listen. This was in a beginning toward God. Yeah, we know that. All came into being through it. Don't be thrown off by that it. The it is a pronoun in keeping with the metaphor. The metaphor now is Word. The it becomes a he later, but very soon. All came into being through it. And the Jews would have said, what's this it? Who's this it? John says, shut up. I'm going to tell you who the it is. I'm going to tell you who the word is. I'm only on the second sentence. Please shut up. Well, he would have been nicer. Please. Let me finish. This is only the third sentence. All came into being through it. And apart from it, not even one thing came into being, which has come into being. Everybody understands that? Whatever came into being through this mysterious it called the word. In it, here we go with the it again. I'm only on the fourth sentence, please. In it was life. And the life was the light of humans. Now he's starting to reveal a little bit more, opening the curtain just a little bit more. The light of humans. What does that mean? It's a little mysterious, John. Purposefully. John's being a little dramatic here. He's a little diva here because he's got information that nobody's ever heard before. He's a little diva of revelation. He's rolling it out slowly. He's being a little cagey at first, I must admit to you. But I don't have to because you instinctively know it. In it was life. And the life was the light of humans. And the light is appearing in the darkness. What's the light? The light is the it. What's the it? The it is the word, the expression. The expression, also called the life, also called the light. Three metaphors here. The word, the light, and the life is appearing in the darkness. Oh yeah, when? How? What do you mean the light is appearing in the darkness? And the darkness grasped it not. When did the darkness not grasp the light? Stop being cagey with us. Drop the metaphors, you freak. Metaphors are good when you're a diva of revelation and you want to reveal something gradually here. Verse 6, there came to be a man. His audience is rolling their eyes by this. John's just relishing this. He's going to unload something on them that's going to blow their minds. There came to be a man commissioned by God. His name was John. Is John the light? Is John the life? Is John the word? No. No. This one came for a testimony that he should be testifying concerning the light. So all of a sudden, his Jewish audience is going, okay, we know John the Baptist. He testified concerning the light. Who could that be? Wait a minute. There's a story about the son of Joseph and Mary. Somebody told us one day he appeared in the Jordan River, John the Baptist, who everybody knew was a prophet. He said that a man is coming greater than I am. Whose sandals I'm not worthy to unlatch. I wonder if that one is the light and the life and the word that you're talking about here, Apostle John. This one came for a testimony that he should be testifying concerning the light, that all should be believing through it. Not he was the light, speaking very plainly now, but he came that he should be testifying concerning the light. It was the true light, which is enlightening every human coming into the world. The light came into the world. The light, again, is a metaphor of a person. The life is a metaphor of the person. The word is a metaphor of a person. Who is the person? If you don't have it figured out by now, Jewish people reading this letter, I don't know what to tell you, unless you had no idea who John the Baptist was and who he introduced to the world in the Jordan River. I don't know what to say about you if you can't get it yet. But we're going to help you here. John's going to help you here real quick. In the world, he was nice. The first personal pronoun, he. Now John's revealing. This was a man. It was a he. The it was a he. The light was a he. The life was a he. In the world, he was. and the world came into being through him. That's a throwback to verse 3. Even though I'm in verse 10, it's a throwback to verse 3. All came into being through it. But he's still using the pronoun that refers directly to the metaphor, the word. Everything came into being through him. But you just said it before. Now you're calling it a him. I know. I'm introducing you to a person who was toward God in a beginning. And the world knew him not. It's kind of fitting the description of the Lord Jesus Christ. To his own he came. Born an Israelite. Born among the same people to whom God had revealed himself. And this is why John is saying the God you know was the light. That was him. That was him. That was him. It wasn't the Father himself because he's inaudible, invisible, absolutely unknowable. It was his image. God was the Word, man. God was the He. In the world, he was, and the world came into being through him, and the world knew him not. To his own he came, and those who are his own accepted him not. He was rejected by humans. Yet whoever obtained him, to them he gives the right to become children of God, to those who are believing in his name, who were begotten not of bloods, neither of the will of the flesh, neither of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, here you go, and here it comes. And the Word became flesh and tabernacles among us. Now we know who it is. The Word became flesh. Described in vivid detail by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2. Being in the form of God, deeming it not pillaging to be equal with God, nevertheless empties himself, taking the form of a slave, coming to be in fashion as a human. Humbles himself even unto death, even unto the death of the cross. The Word became flesh and tabernacles among us. Me, John, Peter, Andrew, Matthew, Bartholomew. He came and dwelt among us, and we gaze at his glory. A glory as of an only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John is testifying concerning him. Now they know who he's talking about. The whole thing fits. If the shoe fits Cinderella, wear it. He's the only one upon whom the shoe fits. The only one. John is testifying concerning him and has cried, saying, this was he of whom I said he was coming after me, has come to be in front of me. It's an irony, isn't it? For he was first. Yeah, I'll say he was. All came into being through him. He was first before me. For of that which fills him, we all obtained. And grace for grace. For the law through Moses was given. Grace and truth came through, here it is, Jesus Christ. Verse 18. He finally identifies the Word. The same word he's been talking about since verse 1. The law through Moses was given, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And to help them right at the end here, he says, God, no one has ever seen the only begotten God, that is the image of the invisible God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he unfolds him. It's really a testimony for 10-year-olds. might be a stretch for five-year-olds. I take that back that a five-year-old could understand. I think you have to be 10. But you have to be an adult to fuck it up.